tufts of hair showing off and whatever we're doing, you know. Let's be decent. And there, right there, don't discover your nakedness to other people. It's a shame. Exodus 32. Again, some practical things on that while we go. Okay, need to get running here. This is a story of my life. Lots of meandering at the start and then sprint like mad to get to the finish. The people had been... don't get distracted on this, but the people had gone into idolatry. They sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Sounds like fellowship time sometimes, brethren. Let's be mindful. Verse 25, and when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. All right, so we'll see this. Isaiah 47, 3. Nakedness and shame. Well, say, God made us naked. That's right. And you're not to be ashamed before God. But it's a shame to expose your nakedness to other people. Isaiah 47, come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. So it's this prophetic language, and it's uses pictures, you know, and to tell them what they're going to have to be doing. Uncover thy locks. This is a pagan Babylonian virgin. She's got her head covered. Sisters, this is not hard stuff. Never mind, you know, this doctrine of the head covering in the church that has gone completely challenged now. Started with the feminist movement in the 1900s. It wasn't in dispute for near 2,000 years of church life before. I can remember my Roman Catholic mother wearing a hat to church in the West Indies as a boy, brimmed hat with a veil in front. Everybody used to cover their heads in church. Pentecostals. All sorts. Uncover thy locks. Make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh. Pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. All right? Shame and nakedness going together. We'll look at another one. The leg is from the knee to the foot. The thigh is from the knee up to the groin. It says make bare the leg means that the leg was covered, which means right down to the foot of a Babylonian virgin was covered. People used to have common sense and know how to dress themselves. And that was the heathen. God is pronouncing judgment upon them, and the judgment is that you're going to be exposed. Nakedness was going to be judged. Revelation chapter 3. I'm hitting hard on a point here, but bear with me. Revelation chapter 3. Speaking to a church. Licentious, or lax anyway, church. Verse 17, Laodiceans, right? Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Right? Nakedness is a shame. Paul tells us in Philippians that there are those who are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their belly, who glory in their shame. They mind earthly things. They boast about what they should be ashamed of. They parade. It applies to this realm as well. If you want to be showing off yourself, you're glorying in what you ought to be ashamed of. Male or female, exposing yourself, defining nakedness, there's much we could look at. Nakedness does not have to be complete to be nakedness. We think of someone was naked, you know, no clothing on. But what would you see if somebody was just wearing socks? Say he was naked? You get my point. Or a sister with a big head covering on. Say he was, I mean, I don't want to put things in your mind, but that's a naked person. It doesn't mean no fabric at all on you. It means you're exposing what ought not to be exposed, and that constitutes nakedness. Exodus 28:42. Let's look at it here quickly, and then we've got to really skate. 28:42. All right. Thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness, from the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. So that's the primary concern with a male. From the loins, more or less your belly button, to the thighs, right? So that's the underwear. Isaiah 20, verse 4, tells us that if your bottom is exposed, that is nakedness. So you have an interesting one here. Jeremiah 22. Jeremiah 13:22. And if thou say in thine heart, wherefore came these things upon me? For the greatness of thine iniquity are thy skirts discovered, and thy heels made bare. Right? Again, the garments touched the ground. We looked at Isaiah where your legs covering, being uncovered, and so on. If you're reduced to your undergarments, you are described as being naked. Paul in 1 Corinthians said, we are naked and hungry. He didn't mean he didn't have any clothes on. Didn't have an outer coat to keep warm. I don't think Paul was going around in his undergarments. So nakedness is inadequately clothed. You search it out. Doesn't mean not a stitch on you. Inadequately clothed, you're naked. If you want, partially naked. And we need to cover so that we're not glorying in our shame, but that we're glorifying God. It's a shame of nakedness. Modest clothing. Let's look at some of the details of modest clothing. We've talked about the length of it. I've alluded to the head covering as part of it. We've talked about not being form-fitting. First Peter 3:3 repeats what Paul said to Timothy. It says to women that your adorning should not be that outward of fussing with the hair, plaiting the hair, wearing gold, or putting on of apparel, but the hidden man of the heart. Right? So, modest apparel, a meek and quiet spirit, this is glorifying to God. Some have said, about the head covering, that if women covered their heads, then the apostles wouldn't have told them not to braid their hair. Because their hair would be covered, why would he tell them that? To me, this is a bit like the person who said, the earth is really old. We know that because the rocks are old. How do you know the rocks are old? Well, because we know the earth is really old. I'm not quoting it right, but it's a circular reasoning. The earth might be really old, but it's not for that reason. Anyway, 6 days the Lord made heaven and the earth. That's good enough for me. The apostle is telling the woman to dress in modest apparel. I understand from that that he's either exhorting them to continue doing what they're already doing or telling them to do something they're not doing, that they should be doing. Is that reasonable? Okay. So, if he says, don't braid your hair, but put on modest apparel, do you not understand that part of that modest apparel would be to cover her hair? Remember, this is an immodestly dressed woman. She's got her hair decked up, she's got jewels on, and expensive clothing. She's not indecent, or she'd have been put out of the church. The attire of a harlot. We'll get to that. So, the idea that if it was a head covering, it wouldn't have said that is not reasonable. And it would be understood that modest clothing included a head covering. And the problem with the Corinthian women was that they would come into the church and remove their head covering because they were priests and there's neither male nor female in Christ, and so we're going to do what the men do. We're going to uncover our heads and prophesy with our heads uncovered. But to go out of doors, they would have had their head coverings on. That's just decent. Even the pagan Roman women knew that. That's how we would understand those things. We could look at them more. Let's look at, there's lots of things here. Song of Solomon, chapter 5. I'm going to go fairly quick. Famous last words. Through these passages, I mean. Verse 7. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I don't let my children read the Song of Solomon before they're 20. But, so you over 20s looking at that, you can read the passage. But this woman, who's looking for her beloved, links being smitten, being wounded, and having her veil taken off in the same category of injury. Smitten, wounded, took off my veil. It's a dreadful violation of my decency as a woman. And Christian women are wanting to take it off themselves. It's a shame. It's a shame. Never mind what the world does. Ruth chapter 3 and verse 15. We'll see something very simple. Again, these things are there for us in Scripture. So Ruth lays at Boaz's feet all night, and he's worried about decent appearances here, right? He was there minding his own business, doing his job, and he wakes up in the night, and there's a woman at his feet. Now what's he going to do? You ever been in a situation where you didn't do anything wrong, but if people saw you, they would think you were doing something wrong? It's not a nice situation to be in. Right? And that was Boaz's situation. So, she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. So the light's just starting to come, but you couldn't recognize anybody. It's dark, right? It's very dark. And he said to her, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee. If it's so dark, how do you know she had a veil on? In the dark. She's always wearing it. It's expected. Every decent woman did. And it was so sizable to cover all the hair that he could put a week's groceries in it. It wasn't the size of my handkerchief. It did the job. It wasn't a postage stamp pinned onto it, you know. There, take home 3 grains of barley for your mom. 6 measures of wheat. We don't know exactly what a measure is. It would have been a scoop someone could scoop, right? Just think of the size and normal. Not something big like a bulldozer bucket, but a scoop, milk jug or something. 6 times intervale, twirl it around, and he laid it on her back. So it wasn't just something she was going to swing in her arms. It had some weight to it. This is the size of a head covering. Just normal. Right? These details are there. In Scripture, garment goes down to the foot. Doesn't tell you in 1 Corinthians 18, this is what your garments look like. But if we will read our whole Bibles cover to cover over and over and over again, we will get clearly the idea of every aspect of life. Some of you German folks will realize blood pudding's not good to eat. If we read our Bibles, forbidden to the Gentiles. Yeah. We could go on. Genesis 24, Rebekah, right? Remember when Peter was teaching the women, right? Holy women, right? Submitting to your own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. So Peter deduced that Sarah obeyed Abraham because she called him Lord. Shall one that is 90 years old give birth? My Lord being old also. So from that, Peter deduced she was an obedient, submissive woman. And that was held, that detail of her life was held up as an example to holy women thereafter. And Rebecca, in Genesis 24, when she saw Isaac, and she said to Abimelech, her servant, Eleazar, I'm very sorry, what man is this that comes to meet us? Says, it is my master. And she took a veil and covered herself as a sign of her submission to his authority. Covered herself. Is that what it says? She took a veil and bonked a symbol on her head. It did the job. It covered her. It's in the book, brethren. Oh, the time would fail. Song of Solomon. This is perhaps some are going to be squeamish at this. Just have some pity for me. I feel squeamish having to be the person to bring it out. But it's a fact of life, and God put it in his word. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 1. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats. And so on. Hair, very prominent as a beautiful thing, enticing to her husband. Verse 5 of chapter 6, turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Gilead. Chapter 7, verse 5, thine head upon thee is like Carmel, and the hair of thine head like purple. Beautiful. All right. Ezekiel chapter 16. All right. Blush with me while we read what the Word of God says. Remember that teacher colleague I told you about? Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 7. All right, so the Lord here, before we get to verse 7, he's basically going through the summary of a person's life, right? Speaking of Israel in their captivity, and he took Israel and brought them into Canaan, and this is like when you were a baby. Verse 6, I saw thee polluted in thine own blood, and I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. So babies come out of the womb, they're messy, and it's you know, it's a mess happens when a baby comes out. Lots of stuff, and placentas and all those things. And God uses these vivid pictures, and this was like coming out of Egypt. And I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field. And thou hast increased and waxen great. You've grown up. And thou art come to excellent ornaments. Israel here being likened unto a girl who's grown up. Listen what these excellent ornaments are. Plural. Thy breasts are fashioned and thine hair is grown. And they are put in the same class. And should be equally modestly dealt with to go out of doors, out of the sight of your husband. Because you're going to be modest. If a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her. It's not her only glory. It's not even her greatest glory. That meek spirit of Christ in a serving woman is glorious, whether she's bald or not. Some physical ailments caused her hair to be gone. That's still a glorious, holy woman. But long hair is a glory to her. And she's a holy woman, not wanting to parade her glory to others. She wants to be modest so she can proclaim the glory of Christ. I think that point has been made. We'll move on. Other scriptures. Isaiah chapter 3. Showy clothing. Ostentatious clothing, right? Clothes that show off. Isaiah chapter 3. Verse 16. Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion, these are Jews, not Babylonians, are haughty, these are proud, and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking in the flesh, fleshly lusts, walking and mincing as they go and making a tinkling with their feet, mincing, making themselves look dainty. They're doing it on purpose. They're practicing how to walk so that people will look at them. I can't do it. You'll be in stitches if I tried something. Charles Finney writes about a woman walking into the assembly with her hat on, as women did, but her hat was a beautiful, and she had everything. She dressed down to the nines, but she covered her head, right, as all the women did in those days. Church, she had her hat. And she walked with an air and moved her head just so. And she did it on purpose so people could look at her. And she saw the effect it was having. And she was quite pleased. And Finney, discerning all this as he watched her come, she made the dreadful mistake of sitting down behind Charles Finney, who turned around to her and said, young woman, or whatever he called her, have you come in here as an agent of the devil to draw away the worship of men from God to yourself? And by 5 minutes, she was collapsed in a heap on the floor under conviction. I'm not saying we've got to speak to people like that. But these daughters of Zion, mincing as they go. Right? This is a woman that's practiced even her walk so that she knows just how to move her body so that people will look at her. Therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion. The Lord will discover their secret parts. Now look at how the Lord's going to discover their secret parts. In that day the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet, and their cauls, and their round tires like the moon, the chains, and the bracelets, and the mufflers, the bonnets, and the ornaments of the legs, and the headbands, and the tablets, and the earrings, the rings and nose jewels, the changeable suits of apparel, and the mantles and the wimples and the crisping pins, the glasses and the fine linen and the hoods and the veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell there shall be a stink, and instead of a girdle a rent, and instead of well-set hair baldness, and instead of a stomacher a girding of sackcloth, and burning instead of beauty. 1/3 of those garments were head coverings. I think about 1/3. Lots of jewelry. Notice their secret parts are going to be discovered. They had taken modest attire, including head, and fussed it every which way. Look at me. There's a temptation for our sisters to do that. Sisters, I know it's going to step on some toes, but they want the head coverings back and poof up their hair at the front so we can look pretty. It's not wicked to want to look pretty for your husband. But do you want other men looking at you and saying, wow, she looks pretty? Don't you want them to say, wow, she looks holy? And then their minds go off to Jesus. Or, you know, just... And or color. I've got to have a head covering, but I'm going to get one's a nice color, and I'm going to fuss it so it looks good, you see? The focus on wanting to look good. And the shoes, and the skirt. And we can, and men can do the same thing, the shirt, you know? And we just fly in. How close to the edge can we go without breaking the rules? Is that right? I know there's some that are just careless, clueless, just pick whatever's off the rack and they're good to go. And there's some sisters like that as well. I don't judge what's in people's hearts. But I know these things are real. I want to look good. Well, this is where it leads. calls. Oh, I forget what that one is. I think it's a head covering of some kind. Round tires like the moon, right? So you wrap your head covering on this way. Change mufflers, right? So that one comes on this way. Bonnets. Bonnet is just a rimless cap. Ornaments of the legs. Headbands. Okay, so that's just a circle this way around and the hair seen on top and flowing down. Mantles over the shoulder. Wimples, like what a Catholic nun wears, and it encircles the face this way. Crisping pins would be hair curlers. Hoods, we know what a hood is, right? It's there, and it's part of the other garment. Veils, a big draping thing over, right? Look how many head coverings. But they were all trying to be different and attractive and look and distinct. A fussed up head covering. See? Nothing new under the sun. This is hundreds of years before Christ. And God was displeased, and he was going to bring judgment on it. And I don't think that's a hard, haughty. But we want to be far away from those things. We want to be, remember the holy women, the women, the virgin or the widow, she wants to be holy in body and spirit unto the Lord. She's just preoccupied with how everything she does pleases Christ. Just like a new bride, courting even, and her soon-to-be husband is coming over and she wants to do the meal or she's there with mom, No, he likes it this way, right? Isn't that right? And the sisters don't lose it as they get older, they just get more tired. And so, leftovers, In my heart, I've done it just like I always did, but in my body, this is what we've got to deal with because getting up three times a night with a baby and all those things. I don't blame our wives for that, but the care, the attention to detail to please the loved one, the man. Wow, he got flowers, My sweet wife's very patient. I need to do better in those things. But what about our Lord Jesus, who loved us? Do we want to be diligent to do every particular the way he likes it? What would you think if a young bride says, I like banana cream pie. I don't care if you're allergic. We're having banana cream pie. Where in the Bible does it say banana cream pie is wrong? I guess the husband, what's he going to do with that? But what would we think if we saw our bride speak like that? I'm just going to cook what I like. What's wrong with it? You should learn to like what I like. Something wrong about that. The man, I don't care what you like. Isn't what a man supposed to try and provide for his family? Things that are good for them? Isn't that supposed to be a man's focus? Isn't that why he toils? To provide for them? Not to buy himself bigger toys? Right? Look what I bought for you, darling, a set of golf clubs. I'll go and use them a lot and explain to you how when I get good at it, right? No. He labors to provide for others. Aren't our hearts to be, Lord, I want to please you in everything I do. I don't care what others think. Well, my brethren, you might speak to me through them, so I want to listen, but I don't care if I'm a gazing stock to the world. Lord, you were a gazing stock when you hung naked on a cross because of my sin. How can it be I would be ashamed of you? To be identified with you because of how I dress. I don't care, Lord. I want to be associated with you. What? Lord, you are willing to be associated with me. I ruined your reputation, Lord. A friend of sinners. Why does your master sit and eat with publicans and sinners? That would have been me. I want to be associated with you, Lord, in everything I do. Oughtn't that be our hearts, brethren? God help us. details of our clothes. We've seen Genesis 9 tells us they were big. Psalm 133, I'm not even going to look at there. Revelation chapter 1. We get a picture of our glorious Lord Jesus, high priest. And it tells us he was clothed with a garment down to the foot. I know that's not the primary point, but it's there. And it wasn't skin tight. Was modest. Fathers, you have a burden of ruling your house. And don't just say, well, I don't have to rule my house well, I'm not an elder. You need to rule your house to the glory of God. And sometimes your young people lack wisdom. You need to be that wisdom. Sometimes they lack firmness. You need to be that firmness. Oh, you can do it in love. But you can't just let young people dress as they please. They need to dress as you please. And you need to please as Christ pleases. And you need to instruct your wives if they are ignorant. To the glory of God. It's over. It's through the book. The garments for men went down to the feet. 2 Samuel 10:4, we won't go there. The ambassador came back from the king. The beards were half shaved, and their garments were cut off in the middle, it tells us, at the buttocks. So if that's the middle, then right? That's the middle. Tells you the length by giving you the half. These things are there. You can search them out yourself. That's 2 Samuel 10, verse 4. All right. Harlot's clothing. I trust we don't need to do that much. Jeremiah 4:30. We'll skip on things. These are things not common among us. Maybe don't need addressing some of these things. You read the early part of the chapter to see to whom the apostle's speaking. What, and when thou art spoiled, what wilt thou do? Though thou clothest thyself with crimson, though thou deckest thee with ornaments of gold, though thou rentest thy face with painting, in vain shalt thou make thyself fair. This is a woman beautifying herself to be the object of men's admiration. This is one of the references, few references to makeup in the Bible. The most famous one, perhaps, is Jezebel. She tired her head, she put a tire on, a round head covering, and painted her face, and put her head out the window. This is an extraordinarily vain woman. She was being hunted for her life. Jehu is coming to kill her. You remember the scripture? And she painted her face, tired her head, and put her head out the window and said, had Nimri peace who slew his master? Taunting Jehu, who's coming to execute judgment and end her life. And she is so vain, she has to put on makeup to expose her face to a man who's coming to kill her. Well, some women are just so vain, they have to put on makeup to go out in public. And rent their face. It says, rent your face with painting. Making thyself fair, trying to beautify themselves. That's not the way, sisters. That's of the world. Let's not, God's holy women, get involved in that. Revelation talks about a whore. We won't go there. We look briefly in Proverbs. It's a long passage. I invite you to read it. Am I doing something wrong with this thing? It's making a noise now. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 to chapter 7, verse 27. Talks about this whole spirit that gets into women. It's an extreme thing here. And in chapter 7, verse 10, Solomon, he's talking about life and he's been watching people. And this poor, simple fellow, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot. Clothes of a harlot. Brings back a detail I forgot to mention from Isaiah there. Changeable suits of apparel. Multicolored. It's not consistent. You imagine cloth in those days, you'd make it one color, right? Changeable suits, you're multicolored like Joseph's coat of many colors. Expensive and difficult. Why? To make yourself a glorious object of attention. Not fit for men or women to be doing that. Woman with the attire of a harlot. So here we have a conundrum. We have a problem. Because she had attire on. She was clothed. She was wearing clothing. But it was harlot's clothing. So there's clothing that's for the holy, and there's clothing that's for the unholy. And most of what we see in the world is for the unholy. I don't know if you can buy, as a woman, scarcely for a man, decent clothing off the shelf anymore. You could once, but I don't know that you can anymore. And she says what she's done, decked herself and perfumed her bed and says what she's going to do. But do you want to look in any garment like a harlot? See? That's the thing. As one of God's holy daughters. Seduction. This is, I hope I don't, yes. Let's look in Numbers 25, please. In the interest of time, we'll start in Numbers 31 first. Numbers 31, 16. All right. They're fighting with the Midianites. And Moses said unto them, have you saved all the women alive? Look at verse 16. Behold, these women caused the children of Israel, through the counsel of Balaam, to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. All right? So Moses is telling us there that what the Midianites did and the plague that happened was a result of Balaam's teaching. And the Lord says that in Revelation, the doctrine of Balaam, who taught, right, Balak to cause my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. So we know that Balaam told them this. All right, let's look in Numbers chapter 25. Okay, so chapter 24 is all about Balaam blessing Israel. He went there to curse Israel. Only he knew he couldn't. He was called there and he wanted the money, so he went. Even though God told him don't go, he still pushed, so God let him go. And God turned his curse into a blessing. And now he knew that if he lied, he would lose his prophetic status. So he blessed, but he still wanted the money. And so, right there, we would have figured it out if we were one of those clever chaps, which I wasn't. I'm not. One of those clever people that can really spot these things in Scripture. But we see that Balaam left, and then right after this happened, and what happened in between? And in case we miss it, Moses tells us later that Balaam taught them to do this. So because God's going to bless them and there's nothing you can do to curse them, you can get them to curse themselves. Here's how you do it. So it says, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Now how? And why? These were not the Benjamites with no wives. They do what we call the Benjamite dance, right? So Israel all gave their young daughters and they all danced, and the Benjamites who had no wives came and grabbed wives. These were married Jews with lots of beautiful Jewish women who dressed
modestly.
Just think about what's going on. How did these Jews, who were at enmity with these Midianites, end up committing fornication with their women? They didn't plunder them. These men came out with their women. They had some kind of transaction. And why would they go after their women? Because they dressed them up to look exciting to the eyes, to stir their passions so they would want them and go after them. Because the beautiful Jewish women were dressed modestly. Except the ones like Solomon tells about, who have the attire and a harlot and go and seduce away their neighbors, committing adultery against her own husband and seducing this other man to be unfaithful. And it is done through exciting the lust in the man by what his eye sees. This is another hard part of having to do this task, but it is a fact that most men are enticed visually by attractive female form, even if he's an apostle. It's a shock to many women. The worldly women know it, and they exploit it. They might not know how deep it goes. Sisters, explain to you that is a known fact. You can get a bit of permission. How many of you sisters like chocolate? How many of you sisters, just there is some food that you really like, that your favorite, that you're, please tell me, help me out there. All you sisters don't eat or don't care much for food. Wow. Well, you're going to have to use your imagination. Pretend you really liked food. And your favorite food, right? And you work in an environment or in an office or in a factory where they manufacture this food, and the smell of it fills the place. And they put out, you know, a serving of it right there in the center of the office. And you can see it and smell it. And it's been 3 hours since breakfast. It's a bit of burnt toast. And there's that food. What's your mind going to want to do? Now you just ignore that and just don't think about anything except this filing. Is it going to be tempting for your mind to go after the food? Yes or no? I know I've been long, but help. Are you going to be tempted to enjoy the smell of the food? Even though you're trying to keep your mind fixed. Now that is what it is like for most men. When a woman that is beautiful physically and dresses seductively in his presence, even though his heart rejects, there is a reaction that is common to most men, not all, just natural. And it tempts him to sin. I remember an atheist friend of mine or acquaintance, we went to train together to be teachers. That's where I met him. And he was just, I mean, he was an atheist, but he had some moral standards, you know, and some sense of decency, a married man. And he was telling me about one job he didn't want to get because there was a young woman in that department and she was really fit and decked out. And man, I mean, what would I do if I had it stuck in the photocopy room with her? My mind would just be going boom, 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 you know. This is a man who's wanting to be faithful to his wife. And this is just the involuntary reaction. I remember sitting in the staff room with the teachers, and one of the more mature female teachers said, I don't get it. Some young man telling me he's finding it distracting to concentrate on his teaching when he's got these 18-year-old girls in his class and they're all dressed this way. Like, get over it. I thought, yes, easy for you, but for the young man, it's very real. He's just trying to do his job, and he's got all this distraction in front of him. And it'd be like you teaching in a chocolate factory. And being told, now just ignore the chocolate and just teach. It's all there, smells, everything. I'm told that, and this is 15 years old, maybe 20, this information, 50% of the men at a Promise Keepers rally, it's a gathering of evangelical Christian men, 50% of them confess to being in bondage, addiction to pornography. It's about as bad as this. A man that is sinning in his heart in lust is a defeated Christian. He knows he can't do anything for God because he's enslaved to sin. Doubts he's even born again, and with good reason. Or a faithful Christian, and he's seeking to walk holy, but he might stumble here because of what the eye sees. It's a fact that many men face. And you say, well, get over it, yes? I can tell you, sisters, I stayed on visited some folks on a community, Christian community once, where everybody dressed like these horse and buggy folks do. Actually, they dress more like the Amish. And for the entire stay there, I never once experienced the least temptation in thought or deed. Not even a fleeting, it just never was a temptation at all. Because all of the women adorned themselves in modest attire. I know that a man has to endure the temptations of the world, but the church ought to be a safe place. Sister, do you really want to stand on Judgment Day, find out that your actions were a stumbling block to someone else? That there's a man in the congregation sinning during the worship service because of how you're attired? I don't know if that's anyone here. I've been in congregations where look not to the left nor to the right had a very literal application. Look over at my child, right? Because there's a woman. It's dreadful that it's so. The devil laughs. See, he's behind it all in the world. The whole world lieth in wickedness, but not the church, surely. And men, let us be decent. I mention these things because a lot of God's holy women don't realize what they're doing. In the day of judgment, to find out that because of how you were attired, ungodly men were filling their minds with perverted thoughts. Or, because of your example, young women followed after vanity. Young men began to style their hair. Fancy watch. Deck themselves out and convey a sense of worldliness. I mention these things, brethren, because it gives us why things are important. Do we really need to talk about makeup and jewelry? I'll let you search it out. I would say this, that makeup belongs not to the godly, but to harlots. Many women are ashamed not to be comely before the world. They put on makeup to be seen of strangers. But they're to be shamefaced before men and adorned for their husbands. Let them go forth into the world with modesty of clothing and demeanor, gloriously adorned with meekness and quietness, to win others by their piety and not clamorousness of words. It's there. We've talked already about Jezebel. The time would fail us to talk about jewelry. Scripture says we're not to do it. I trust that's clear. The book of the Revelation, and we'll finish with this. You've been very gracious and patient with me. By addressing things that I did not prepare for, I leave off some of the details I did. But we'll finish with the book of the Revelation. Let me just scan here. I think, although I've not been thorough, I hope it's at least given us food. Revelation chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. A bride adorned for her husband. Brethren, brother, sister, we ought to adorn ourselves for the Lord Jesus in everything, in our demeanor, in our manner of living, and certainly in our clothing. It's for him. Brothers, as much as we can, we should please our wives. So, if I'm going to get a brown shirt or a blue shirt, and my wife prefers a brown one, I would get a brown one. In fact, the truth is, my wife buys shirts for me. I don't buy mine. Picks them up at the nearly new shop. Can't remember the last time I bought myself a shirt. And sisters, you ought to adorn yourselves for your husband and him alone. For his eyes only do you make yourself beautiful. But for the world, you cover yourself. Cover yourself to the glory of God. Not with a burqa, with all due respect to Muslim friends. The Bible says that their faces were seen. When Hannah prayed, Eli could see her lips move. He saw her face. Your face is not a problem. Shamefacedness doesn't mean you go around ashamed of your face. It means bashful, retiring, shamefastness. The face is just not part of the word in its origin. It comes from shamefastness. It has to do with modest in manner and demeanor. But certainly someone that's, you know, lipstick. You see them on the highways, you know. Driving on the highway, putting on their makeup. One man wrote a letter to the editor or to the newspaper. With the woman that drives this car, please stop putting her makeup on the highway. Do it before you leave the home. You're going to crash your car. The editor published it in the newspaper. It's so common. If we adorn ourselves for anyone other than our Lord, we are playing the harlot. And as human beings, the only eyes we want to admire our form is that of our spouse. And for everyone else, we cover so that the radiance of Christ shines forth from our lives, so that people are attracted to his beauty, not our flesh. That we glory in the cross of Christ, not in our shame. Thank you for your patience. The Lord bless you.